My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. And on the line right now is our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross Tucker joining us right now. Ross, it's great to talk to you as always. I know you were on the Buffalo-Arizona game this past Sunday, but you were probably, I'm guessing, up there before the game. They got all the food spread out there, and you're doing your pregame thing, talking to people, eating some food. What was it like for you? Seth and I were actually doing a pregame show while this was all going on, but for Tyreek Hill getting detained, Dak Prescott's contract extension, Russell Wilson inactive, Jamar Chase, like there was news, like there was a 45-minute period where there's this fire hose of news. What was that like for you getting ready for a game, seeing all that stuff?
It was really strange, because I wasn't paying attention that much or trying not to, right? You know, it's funny. I think most of us in the media are like this. You know, we kind of got to be on Twitter like all the time, right? I mean, Twitter is the best way to be able to keep up with information, you know, like as quickly as possible. And so there are very few times when it takes me that long to check my Twitter. But before a game and during a game, I'm hardly on it at all. Like those, I would say those like 5 or 6 hours, that's the least I'm on social media or paying attention on what's going on. But, like, I do have notifications for Schefter, you know? So then it's, like, coming through Tyreek Hill arrest. I'm like, wait, what? What did he do? And then the Dak contract. But I didn't really have much time to react or care because, you know, I'm doing an NFL game on TV, and I'm trying to be locked in and make sure I have, obviously, the best possible performance I can.
So, Ross, as far as just keeping up with everything, like on a Sunday then, so you do a game, but then you do also like multiple podcasts and shows and everything else. Like, when do you find time to catch up with the rest of the league, including teams like the Texans? Do you like cram it all in on a Monday?
It's a good question. I would say it varies depending on the week, because a lot of weeks I'm actually doing a college game. You know, like this week I'm doing Radio Westwood One on Thursday night. I'm doing the Dolphins Bills, but then Saturday night I've got a primetime game for CBS, Colorado at Colorado State. So Deion Sanders, Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, like that's going to be an awesome game.
Oh, Deion's
so I'll take the red eye back, and I feel like the combination of social media and the Red Zone channel, and then after the games, seeing the highlights and reading through, you know, multiple reports of what happened during the game, I feel like those usually give me a pretty good base. It's tougher though when I actually have a game, but I was able to catch up on my 4.5-hour drive from Buffalo back to central Pennsylvania. So that's when I kind of read things, looked at things, and had a decent idea of everything that went on. And then obviously I got home Sunday night. Then I'm really playing catch up because Monday morning I'm talking about all the games. Mm-hmm. So Sunday night's a late night and Monday morning's an early morning. And then, I don't know, like 12:30 or something, I take a nap.
Ross, this is what I decided to do. It just occurred to me as you were talking about all this at the first minute. I just, do you have your phone on you right now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, check the text I just got from you, and then I just sent you a 1 minute video of Kenyon Green and some of his run snaps in the game. And tell me if you expected to see this out of Kenyon Green. There's about 10 plays on there. And just tell me, give me your play by play in real time. Don't pause or anything, and tell me what you think of Kenyon Green, the left guard for the Texans.
Well, so the first one was awesome.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
This isn't going how I hoped it would.
Yeah,
he looks good.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Yeah,
yeah. He it was a different version of Kenyon Green we've seen since he's come to the Texans. And honestly, this is one of those things where he looked like a what?
He just moaned in the background.
Yeah.
You know what? He's physical. He's getting after people. This is what they needed.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is probably one of the reasons why they ran the ball as effectively. I love that last double team with Tunsil. Why they ran the ball so effectively.
Yeah. So I'll start doing that from you so you can do some like hardcore film study in 5 minutes. Kenyon Green, honestly, it's funny because he grew up here in Houston, went to Atascocita, then he played for the Aggies, obviously. And his first couple years with the Texans, it was kind of rough. He was injured a lot. He just physically didn't look all that impressive. He came back this year during camp, and man, he looked like a different guy. And in that game, in the run game especially, he was doing some really nice things athletically. And I've got all these people from Atascocita and Texas A&M saying, like, he's always been like that. Stop it. Stop it. No, he is not. That was not even what he looked like at Texas A&M. He was much more of a mauler in college. This is like found money for me, Ross. Like, I feel like Kenyon's got the potential to be much better than it. And I was holding out hope because I knew the injuries had held him back. But like, that's a different version of offensive linemen in general than we've seen in Houston the last couple years in the run game.
Yeah, and what's so interesting to me about that is if he was drafted like in the third round or later, maybe even second round, he might not even be getting this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but because of what happened the first couple years, but because of how high he was drafted and maybe rightfully so, he's getting another bite at the apple. He's getting another chance to show what he can do, and it looks like he's making the most of it. I just always wonder, and this is the undrafted guy in me, how many undrafted guys or later round picks would be able to in their third year, really take that step and play at a high level like Kenyon Green is if they were given that opportunity. You know, if you're drafted third round or later, and you play the way he did the first couple years, or you get banged up, that's it, buddy. Like you had your shot, you don't get another one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Ross Tucker joining us. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at Walmart, Kroger, or your local grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Along those lines, Ross, if the Texans can run the football, I don't know where you had them in your power rankings heading into the season, but if the Texans run the football like they did against the Colts, a pretty good defense on Sunday, Joe Mixon, 30 carries for $1.59. I mean, what's the potential for this team if they're running the football like that?
Well, so I had them 8th last week. Mm-hmm. And then, as you guys know, Tuesday mornings, I've already recorded and posted the Ross Tucker Football Podcast power rankings, and I moved them up to 6th. Even though, you know, I didn't think their defense was great against the Colts, that ability to run the ball is highly, highly encouraging and necessary, I think, to get where they want to go. I will say this. I don't think you want to be giving Joe Mixon that many carries. Right. You know, he's not like the youngest guy anymore. And I actually – you guys know I always have at least one question for you. What is their deal with Damian Pierce? I mean, last year, you know, they went with Singletary. It wasn't, I guess they didn't think he was, Pierce was a great fit in the offense. So I thought, okay, they'll trade him. But no, they didn't trade him. You know, he's still there. But they're giving Mixon like 30 carries and Pierce none. I'm so perplexed by the Pierce situation there. It's like, give him some carries or trade him to somebody else that will and use somebody else as the backup, because Pierce was like their best offensive player 2 years ago.
Yeah. You know what? I'll give you, this will be an easy film study for you. I'll send it to you after the show. He had 3 carries for 16 yards in the game. He looked good. Like he looked all right. There was pretty good blocking. It was very clear, at least in just 3 limited snaps, that he's not the same guy Joe Mixon is. But I think part of it with them, because I've been very skeptical myself, Ross, I think they just really want to see what it looks like when he has good blocking in front of him. So it was encouraging that the Texans' offensive line looked completely different. And I think that, you know, and you can speak to this, we've seen this with Kyle Shanahan offenses. There's sometimes a big jump between the first year and second year in the run game, because in this scheme, the timing cohesion between the offensive linemen is really, really important. And I think that they feel like, all right, there's something here with Damian, and we just got to see him behind good blocking. So far, so good. And as a backup running back, I'm very much more open to it right now than I was, you know, at any point here during training camp.
Got it. All right. Well, if you get 16 yards on 3 carries, I would give him a few more, I guess. I mean, I know it was a close game, an important game.
Yeah, I think it was the first game. I don't think they're planning on running Joe Mixon 30 times a game every game. It would be impossible. You can't do that.
Yeah. Ross Tucker joining us here on Sports Radio 610. So, Ross, did you get a chance to watch Monday Night Football last night? What was your assessment of Aaron Rodgers after a year off with an Achilles?
Thought he looked good. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's like full throttle Aaron Rodgers, you know, like he was back in, you know, in the Green Bay days, but he certainly looked better than any Jets quarterback that I can remember in a long, long time. You know, I don't know if he's still a top 5 guy. But he looks like he's probably top 10, certainly top 15. And, I mean, the Jets fans, they probably cut off the tip of their pinky for a top 15 quarterback, you know, for a couple years. And he certainly is at least that. I thought that was encouraging. It's just the Jets have an uncanny ability to, okay, so now they're better on offense and Aaron Rodgers playing well, and then their defense plays like crap. I mean, and maybe that's just because they went against the Niners, but the Niners didn't even have Christian McCaffrey, ran it right down their throat. I guess I just feel like that had to be pretty darn discouraging for a Jets fan, that, you know, you're so excited, you got Aaron Rodgers, you've been waiting so long, and then the defense plays like that?
Yeah.
Not good.
No, not good at all. It's Ross Tucker. He's our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, we'll look forward to hearing you on our air right here on Thursday Night Football. We carry it right here on Sports Radio 610, Buffalo and Miami, and look forward to catching up next week, man.
I love it. Yeah, Texans fans should be tuned in. It's probably a couple of AFC playoff teams that they might be battling for seeding, or might have to play in January.
Well, they're playing both of them at home in the regular season, so it'll definitely be a game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We got the AFC East on the schedule this year, so yeah, those are both Texan opponents right there.
Nice. Yep. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Ross. Appreciate you. That's the great Ross Tucker joining us here on Sports Radio 610.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
One of our listeners made an astute comment or question. He said, I know one of Damian Pierce's runs was a power play, not sure of the other two. I read somewhere that's a problem. When Pierce is in, you know it's power because he can't run zone. They did run a couple zones and one power. I'll fact check myself on that. But as far as, I think that is the problem. On one of those plays, it looked like the defense was geared up for downhill running. And that's the thing you worry about with a running back who's one dimensional is, all right, yeah, you can run, you can call the same plays, but the defense isn't threatened by the zone runs, so they can gear up and just really load up for what is the biggest threat. So that's why you need to see more carries out of Damian Pierce to see how defenses respond. But very much, that is, was that okay, Sean, to run that little experiment?
It was. It was. I love the idea of like Ross reacting in real time. I didn't like the 10 seconds or so where he wasn't saying anything. Yeah, that wasn't quite radio friendly. And that's where I said, I loved it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. This was a great idea by Seth. And then the first reaction was good. And then he's silent for like 10 seconds. I'm like, well, this isn't going how I planned. And then he started going, woo, while you and I are talking like underneath. Yeah. And that was really funny. So, yeah, no, I like that. You should do that. Let's try that again with him sometime.
I'll start sending him cut-ups because now the NFL has a pro version of their All 22 that's way better. It's like more like when I was a player and you can just dial up things. Yeah, like, I want to watch specific situations. So I'll send him cut-ups of the things we want to talk about.
Good.
And the thing about Kenyon Green, honestly, one point that the people from Atascocita and Texas A&M did point out was just how young Kenyon Green also was. It wasn't just the injuries. He was only 21 years old when he was drafted. And there were a lot of things about him where he just looked unmolded physically. This version that we saw in the run game the other day was a different version athletically than I ever saw at Texas A&M. At Texas A&M, I told it, my scouting report on Kenyon Green coming out of Texas A&M was, all right, this is a big, strong dude, but he had a lot of holding penalties in college because he was a mauler. And he had to learn how to use his feet to get to the block. And that was always going to be my big question mark about it. His feet are now immaculate. Yeah. Like, his footwork, you know, Wade Smith and Drew Hodgson, two former Texans that I talk to a lot about this kind of stuff, two offensive linemen. Drew was really gushing about his footwork and just how precise and meticulous he was with it. This was a different this was a different type of football player than he was at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. So that, and he still has that same strength and he has that aggression, but he's refined it. So it's really nice to see. If I had seen this version of him his rookie year, I would have been like, "Oh, this is different. Yeah. This is actually maybe more than they expected when they drafted him, because this is a more athletic guy, more so than just a mauler."
Well, that's great to hear. Because this kind of, in a weird way, is like a rookie year for him. Like, it's a new him. Lost 2 years of the rookie contract. You know what I mean? Like, those are burned and dead. You're not going to get those back. But this is a new version of Kenyon Green. Yeah, he looks like the new body type kind of agrees with him. He just looks sleeker for a guy that size, you know?
Yeah. And even that one Grover Stewart tackle for a loss, it was more just – that was a – you know, Laramie Tunsil came off to block somebody downfield at the same time that Kenyon Green was coming off of Grover Stewart. So that's a teamwork thing. That's kind of a communication thing, or just those guys need reps together to not make that mistake. But it wasn't a physical mistake.
Right.
It was more of a, I don't want to call it a mental error, but it was just one of those things that happened until you really get the system nailed down.
We get some text messages here. Kenyon Green might be another Nico Collins for us. Two uninspiring years followed by a massive third-year breakout. Could be.
There's a part of me that's starting to, without starting to think too much like, okay, the Texans can be like the Astros, I think there is starting to be a trust factor in that, like, okay, you know, maybe same thing with Damian Pierce. Maybe they see something in somebody just like the Astros did with Kyle Tucker. Even though Kyle Tucker wasn't performing, he was untouchable, and everybody wondered, why is Kyle Tucker untouchable? Oh, okay. 3 years later, you're like, of course I always thought he was untouchable. Look at him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I said with Kenyon Green, after I saw what he looked like coming into the spring and OTA, you could tell at OTAs and minicamp, like, all right, this is different Kenyon Green. He took his rehab and his workouts very, very seriously. A successful season for Kenyon Green would be if they choose after this year to exercise his fifth-year option. You know,
right,
if they choose
to
say, we want him around for not just next year, but the year after that. You know, that's sort of a rubber stamp that it's working out for Kenyon Green.
Honestly, just based on one game, the upside is very much there, obviously. In the run game especially. The whole offensive line just has to clean some things up in pass protection. But I'm not worried about the physical part of it whatsoever. Kenyon Green could end up, he could end up being a very good offensive guard if he keeps playing and building on what he did in week one. And some of that, and remember, like, versus, they took Zaire Franklin out of the game in the run game.
Yeah.
Zaire Franklin was a damn spectator.
Yeah.
Zaire Franklin is a better podcast. Based on one game, Zaire Franklin's a much better podcaster than he is run defender. He's standing back at 5 yards while Kenyon Green is just owning him. He was a non-factor in the run game. And that's the guy that's had the most smoke, got sensitive when CJ talked to him at the Super Bowl. All of these things, they, for 1 week, and Zaire Franklin will be motivated when they come back in the second game. The offensive line just, they turn Zaire Franklin into a spectator.
Yeah. Do they do that podcast, that Trenches podcast, during the season? I might need to listen to it.
Yeah, I believe so.
Do
I
they?
So.
Okay.
Yeah, probably on a Tuesday or something.
I might have to hear what they thought of the game on Sunday.
Texter points out, immaculate feet. Don't let Rex Ryan know.
Yeah, don't. Don't. That's funny. So speaking of Nico Collins, Tank Dell met with the media yesterday. He was pretty funny when they asked him about Nico and Nico's performance against the Colts.
I don't know. Nico might not like them or something. I don't know, man. Nico got something against them or something. I don't know, because every time he step out there versus him, like, he go crazy, man. And just to watch Nico, you know, hone in on the balls that was coming to him and make those plays, big-time moments like that third down grab, with put his knee on the sideline, like, that's just who Nico is, man. He makes plays all over the field, so I was happy for him.
Nico, as many people have said, for a team in the Texans that was ravaged by one T.Y. Hilton year after year, game, even in T.Y. Hilton's down years, he would go off a couple times versus the Texans. We've got our, I think we've got our T.Y. Hill. I think we've got a guy in Nico Collins who genuinely loves having a grudge match against a divisional opponent. He's old school in that regard. And there's just like, there's like a different version of him that's unlocked against the Colts. I think he wants to physically destroy them,
which is great. And I think the thing too, because I wrote a post about this, I think for tomorrow for the Houston Press, about how we've found our T.Y. Hilton for the Colts. Yeah. And I posted a bunch of video of Nico doing Nico things against the Colts. The three, you know, the, it's crazy to think, like with Nico, you almost absolve him of the first 2 years of his career because he was playing with multiple quarterbacks, Tim Kelly as his OC, Pep Hamilton as his OC, dealing with injuries. He played three games against the Colts his first 2 years. He had six catches for 70 yards. In those three games combined, he had six catches for 70 yards in the Cully and Lovey years. Yeah. And then C.J. Stroud gets here, Bobby Slowick gets here, D'Amico Ryans gets here, and he has piled up in three games against the Colts. Because they've only played twice last year, and obviously they played week one here. He's caught 22 passes for 458 yards and two touchdowns. So he's averaging over 150 yards a game in these three games since C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick got here.
Yeah, it's been... and especially for a team... Sean, I don't want to scare you off of talking about how statistically unlikely it is to win nine straight divisional road games. I feel like you were afraid to talk about it yesterday because I worry that you're.
Talk about it because it's a 2 hour show.
Okay, good. I mean, this is the part because we were talking about two things last week that were statistically unlikely. One, that the Reds have won how many straight games versus the Astros?
Nine straight,
which is very, very, in baseball especially, when it's a good team versus a not-so-good team, or at least historically over the last several years, very unlikely. But the winning the games, winning that many consecutive road division games in football, it's even more unlikely, given that the Texans were underdogs in a lot of those games. But I like it because that feels more... you can attach more emotion to that. That's you going on the road in the division and shutting up the opposing fans.
Yeah.
And taking away the advantage the home team has. Owning them in their house over across the entire division, even in a year, in 2 years where you weren't even a good team, that's fun. That's a streak that I will very much be paying attention to. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun streak. I was watching a little bit of McAfee yesterday talking about, he was at the game. You probably saw him. He was in one of those little suites down at field level there, going crazy, doing McAfee things. And I watched the parts of McAfee where he was talking about the Colts and Texans game. And keep in mind, Pat McAfee played for the Colts for nearly a decade for some really, really good Colts teams and some really loud, atmospheres. And he said that one yesterday was as loud as it's ever been. The loud house, he calls it. You know, so he was saying
loud house.
The loud house, and now the Texan fans are calling it the Stroud house. It's pretty funny. But he was saying that atmosphere. I mean, we heard it when we played Vandy's highlight, his call of Nico's 3rd and 11 catch. You know, Vandy was pointing out the noise within that call. He's like, "It's deafening in here." You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you're right. Like the football streak. There's something to the football streak because each football game is such an event. You know what I mean? Like it's.
I'll tell you. Okay, this is the other thing that's exciting about not just matchups versus the Colts, but as one of our listeners points out, this is a great point. Thank you, listener. Tunsil appeared more engaged in the run game than I ever remember. He was yards downfield chasing guys down. This is a very big development in that Laremy Tunsil. I think really what he can really latch onto in terms of a pride standpoint is that this is a scheme that really benefits athletic offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And Tunsil's able to do things athletically that not a lot of guys can. And I think he's still coming back from his knee surgery. I think athletically he didn't look quite like the same guy. Some of his bad pass pro downs, that's not Laremy Tunsil. But in the run game, he can do some athletic things that could be huge for this team. And if he's really sinking his teeth into that and Kenyon Green is playing the way he is, that's a very exciting potential development.
All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. We are raising money today for the My Home Library program. the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. We've been encouraging you guys, texting $30 to new to 41, or I'm sorry, texting new books to 41444 and making a donation of just $30 buys a new home library for one underprivileged Houston child. 61% of low-income families have no books in their home, and literacy is directly tied to all the things that make a city great. You know, that we want low poverty levels, we want low crime levels, we want mental health to be good. Literacy is tied to all of those things, so we're trying to raise a ton of money today. We've got huge targets that we're trying to raise, and we appreciate everybody's help. $30 when you text new books to 41444. And also taking part in that, we're very excited about this, is the University of Houston. They're going to be donating half of the proceeds from the ticket sales to the Iowa State game on September 28th. When you buy your tickets from uhcougars.com/Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. So we're very excited about that. And along those lines, we're very excited right now to be joined by the new Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics at the University of Houston, Eddie Nunez, joining us here right now on Payne and Pendergast. Eddie, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. So we'll talk about the My Home Library in just a minute, but this is our first chance to get to talk to you. So excited to have you here in town. Certainly, we're always excited about the Cougs and the athletic department over there. Curious from your standpoint, coming from New Mexico, what was the appeal of this job to you?
Yeah, I start off by why not? I mean, it's Houston's an unbelievable city. I spent a lot of my time at LSU, knew this area, knew this region, knew the impact of Houston and what it can have on its community, what it's had in the past. So I've never shied away from any kind of challenge. So this was, for my family and I, the right situation, the right city, the right time in one of the preeminent conferences in the country. And so a lot of great things.
And Eddie, this is the changing landscape in collegiate athletics right now, as you are aware.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, and look, you want to expand the budget of the athletic department. What is the biggest challenge to that goal in this environment?
Being able to get everyone to understand what's happening has been a challenge, and I think that's what you're going to see across the board. I think people don't understand some of the ins and outs of what's about to happen, even ourselves. I mean, we're still waiting to see what the rulings will be and what direction we're going to take. But to build our budget, we've got to be able to get our fan base to trust us that we're doing the right things, that we're putting everything in place. So it really begins internally with our culture, making sure that people understand how to do things, that the expectations, the accountability. So I'm right now, more than anything else, working on that, working on the culture, working on helping our staff understand what the expectations will be, but also at the same time making sure they understand how we're going to do the budget. It's not about being frugal and not trying to compete with those in our conference. No, we're going to do it, but we got to be very fiscally responsible, and we've got to grow it. We've got to grow our partnerships, we've got to grow our donor support, every which way or how, and our multimedia rights, our partnerships. So there's a lot of ways that we can do this, but at the same time, we're dealing with rev share, we're dealing with NIL, we're dealing with so many other pieces. And we're not going backwards. We're going to embrace it, and we're going to do what we have to do to be a big player in this game.
We're joined by Eddie Nunez, new Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics over at the University of Houston. You mentioned your staff. How excited are you to work? Well, you got some legends coaching over there right now. How excited are you to work with some of these coaching legends on your staff?
I'm unbelievably excited. I mean, when you walk down the hall first and foremost and you see coaches that have had tremendous success in this level, and you start thinking about Carl Lewis and others, and then you look and you see you got Kelvin Sampson, who has done not just in college athletics but in the NBA game and just been a legend in the game of basketball. And then you look down the hall and you got Willie Fritz, who's done it and succeeded and accomplished tremendous goals everywhere he's been. And so I'm thrilled. I've been very, very fortunate in my career to be around from the Nick Sabans and the Billy Donovans and the Skip Bergmans, some unbelievable coaches and people. And I think more than anything else, what I'm so proud of is and excited about is working with great coaches, but they're also, honestly, first-class individuals.
Yeah, no, I mean, you rattled off some amazing names right there, no doubt about that. Let's talk about this effort to benefit the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. The University of Houston, kind enough, half of the proceeds from the tickets to the Iowa State game on September 28th, when you buy your tickets at Cougars.com/Odyssey, AUDACY, are going to be benefiting the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. It's amazing, Eddie, you guys doing that. Why is this effort to benefit the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation so important to you folks over at the University of Houston?
And I said it in my press conference, and I think our staff understands that the importance for us to be successful is be able to give back in our community, is be a big part of it. It's not just for individuals to come and enjoy our events. It's actually be a part of giving back to those in the, especially in need. And so when you look at what this, what the foundation, the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, is doing to help so many underprivileged areas or areas that just need that support, for us to be able to do whatever we can to give back, to support, to help all those in Houston really elevate themselves is something that I strongly believe in, our department strongly believes in. So we're excited. We're really excited to be a partner with them, and know that this can be a tremendous and critical impact for the Houston community.
Absolutely. We appreciate it so much. UHCougars.com/Odyssey. Odyssey is AUDACY. It's that September 28th game with the Cyclones, Iowa State, coming to town to take on the Cougs. Eddie, man, welcome to Houston. We're looking forward to certainly meeting you in person out at TDECU at some point here, and go get that Bayou Bucket this weekend.
Sounds great. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for what you're doing for the foundation as well, and look forward to meeting you soon.
Yeah, can't wait. Appreciate it. Eddie
Take
Nunez.
Care,
yep, you too. Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate you. New athletic director over at the University of Houston. And yeah, man, they've got some big goals going on over there. They're in the Big 12, so now they're above that Power 4 conference line. But now they've got to start competing with the big boys budget-wise over there.
And honestly, too, this is one of those things where I feel like asymmetrical warfare is where the analogy that comes to mind. Where, okay, you might not have the same resources as some of the other schools, but you've got different resources, mm-hmm. and in a shifting landscape where nobody exactly knows what is the guidebook for navigating NIL and the transfer portal and everything else like that. That, I mean, we've seen this with Tom Herman with the University of Houston. Mm-hmm. By virtue of being in a city like Houston with recruiting power, like, well, there's so many good recruits being here, you do have an advantage. It's not like the typical advantage that you have with some of the other, big schools. But it is an advantage that they don't have. And yeah. how do you leverage all of that while everything else is changing? I think there are opportunities there.
For sure.
You're basically like a SEAL team. You can do more with less.
Yeah. The proximity to recruits is good. It's a vibrant business community. There is definite chicken and egg thing going on with winning football games. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, what
right,
comes
yeah.
first, the NIL or the winning? Or do you got to win to get the NIL? They need to win football games and basketball games, and Eddie knows that too. So yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes, man. For sure. Let's give away some tickets right now to that Bayou Bucket game. Yeah, this weekend. Call now 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 going to win a 4-pack of tickets to this Saturday's game between the Cougs and the Owls. 713-572-4610. If you can't make it, tickets are just $15. At UHCougars.com/tickets. Again, a reminder, if you want to make sure that the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation does benefit in some way, there's two ways to do it, really. New books, texting new books to 41444 and making a donation, or as we just outlined with Eddie Nunez, the Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics for the Cougs, UHCougars.com/Odyssey. And tickets to the September 28th game against Iowa State gets that job done. Now, we are going to be giving away Texans tickets between now and the top of the hour. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. You want to be down in that bullpen for Bears, Texans, Sunday Night Football? This atmosphere is going to be insane. I think it's going to mirror what was happening with that Cleveland playoff game last year. Wear white. Got to wear white, man. That's the big movement for Sunday for the game against the Bears. All right, up next, we still got some leftovers from the Colts win. We're going to close the book on the Colts win in the next segment and push forward, but we still got some leftovers from that game this weekend that are pretty exciting that we will get to coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, quick note for you Cougs. Eddie Nunez called back, new athletic director, and said he wants to give away some seats of his, some of his personal club seats away. So we're going to be doing that in the 8 o'clock hour. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I like, you know, he's got a good way of, you like it when the super smart suit types also sound kind of casual and relatable.
Yes.
He's got a good blend there.
I think so.
These first impressions matter when it comes to raising money, and I feel like he's got that good blend there.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Yeah. he's a man of the people. I like that. So we'll be doing that.
And he gives us stuff. And yeah, I like that, too.
He's a man of the people.
To raise money for charity. That's good.
Right. Absolutely. We're going to be giving away Texans tickets between now and the top of the hour. So be listening for that here on Sports Radio 610. Some leftovers from the 29-27 win over the Colts this past weekend. D'Amico Ryans, after the game, talking about the deep balls that the Colts were able to hit on the Texans. Can't have that. Cannot have that moving forward.
With the deep balls, first credit to, you know, their receiver going up and making a play, tremendous catch by him. Just 50-50 ball in those instances. You want to be able to come down with it. As a defender, it didn't happen. They made a play and we didn't. The other couple deep balls where guy got behind us, that's solely up to us, right? We can't allow a receiver to get behind us, and we have to be better there.
The two biggest concerns I've seen coming out of this win, Seth, from Texan fans, are pass protection and those big, gigantic chunk plays on defense. I'm not worried about the pass protection because we've seen them pass protect at a good enough level before.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of the big plays downfield. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that I do. Well, part of it is that it's two of them involve Jimmy Ward also. And the one to Alec Pierce at the end of the game, that's one where, like, Jimmy Ward, it wasn't like he was in an awful, awful position. Now, if it was a better thrown football, it wouldn't have been a contested pass. But it was a contested catch. And Jimmy Ward didn't look anywhere close to making a play on the ball on that. The touchdown early, that's, you know, Jimmy Ward could have been in better position on that. He's kind of had room to intercept the route and everything, or to catch the route, and just, I don't know if he could athletically catch up to it. So it's, he wasn't in position on those plays. That's the biggest concern, I think, is, all right, is that something that gets cleaned up, or is that just that Jimmy Ward is in his 30s and not that guy anymore? That's a big concern. Now, the other one big is, like, Derek Stingley can't whiff on the play where A.D. Mitchell was just wide open, and you're relying on the erratic arm of Anthony Richardson to not make that throw.
You're right. Yeah, like, on the one hand, when it comes to these big chunk plays, these are big, huge plays. Now, they're plays that Anthony Richardson is, at least a couple of them, like, I don't know that there's many other quarterbacks that are making those throws.
Yeah.
You can look at it one of two ways, you know. On the one hand, aside from those big chunk plays, Anthony Richardson was awful throwing the football, statistically at least. 6 of 16, 41 yards and one interception. On the other hand, as you just pointed out, if he just gets to be average at dropping the ball in the bucket to guys downfield, the Colts probably win this football game. I mean, Anthony, A.D. Mitchell was running, as you said, I mean, he was wide open twice down the field, like, wide open.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, just comes down to, all right, Kalen Bullock got 25 snaps in that game at safety.
That might be the
and
fix.
Played. I went through and just did a brief view. I went through and searched for the plays that he was in on, and I didn't see a whole lot to worry about. The biggest thing that guys, that coaches worry about is with a young player is, okay, can I trust this guy? And Kalen Bullock didn't give you any reason not to trust him.
Yep.
He makes that interception. It was very, very nice. Plays 25 snaps in that game. I think he probably plays more snaps this week.
Yeah.
And you look, like we said, with Jimmy Ward, man, it's that athletically maybe he's not the same guy anymore. And that also, man, some of it's just on the stuff that you expect the veteran safety not to do, is be in the right spot, pick up the routes, do all that stuff. After one game, I'm feeling more excited about the potential for Kalen Bullock than I am for how it might play out for Jimmy Ward this year.
You.
So we might start to see a little bit of the changing of the guard as they give Kalen Bullock more reps.
Yep, we'll see. Will Anderson Jr. met with the media yesterday. He talked about the Texans' ability to win close games.
Yeah, man, like I said, we just have a bunch of players that know how to win, man. We have a bunch of players that know what it takes to win, how to win, and we just have that bend but don't break mentality, man. And I think it's very special, the group of guys that we have here. If we won't be denied, we're going to go out there and impose our will, man, and we're going to go swarm. And I think it's just the vet stepping up, leader stepping up, and the playmaker stepping up to make it happen.
I don't want to sound like somebody who's picky about the way my team wins. You know, I don't know that the Texans are at a stage yet where we can be that way. Like, oh, like they're winning, but it's not convincing enough. But I'll say this. There are a lot of these close games, Sunday's game included, several of last year's close games, because they were 7-3 in one score games, where it just doesn't have to be this way. You know, like if the Texans just maintain focus through some crucial parts of the game, These are double-digit wins, you know?
If you're going to play the game, like, okay, if you're arguing with a Colts fan's going to say, hey, if Anthony Richardson makes a couple of those throws, we win that convincingly. That's fair enough. The problem is that Anthony Richardson did exactly what Anthony Richardson has always done, is that he makes some circus throws, but he also just is not consistent enough as a passer. So long-term, all right, great, yeah, you're going to win a few of those, but from the Texans' standpoint, they physically dominated the Colts. Yeah. Look at that. They ran twice as many plays as the Colts did. Yep. They ran down the Colts' throat. Yep. They physically dominated the Colts on a play-by-play basis. Yep. It's these mental errors that you got to clean up, and perhaps just some of the coverage stuff that you can fix by Kalen Bullock coming along or whatever else it might be. And then the blocked punt. You know, that's on the Texans. The Colts were better. We talked... Caserio in the pregame mentioned about how good the Colts punt rush was.
Yep.
And so that's a known thing.
Right.
Like, that was a huge swing in that game, but it's very correctable and you don't want to expect it. I think win or lose, the thing, like, if the Texans had lost that game, I would be talking about the exact same things, just with a different tone of voice. Mm-hmm. But I'd be talking about the coverage errors. I'd be talking about Jimmy Ward. I would be talking about all those things. But I would also be pointing out that on a down-by-down basis, they physically dominated the Colts. They just have to you got to iron out some of these wrinkles. If you're going to do the old Jeff Van Gundy things and not ignore in victory what you would address in defeat, those are some very glaring things that will cost you games versus a quarterback like Pat Mahomes.
Mahomes
hits A.D. Mitchell.
Oh,
you know?
Dude,
Pat Mahomes hits that easy first down on the first series. Like, Pat Mahomes hits all those plays.
Yep.
Pat Mahomes did it in the opener.
Yeah.
He had a wide open receiver after a coverage gaffe.
Yep.
So that's the part that you got to iron these things out by the time they get to these better quarterbacks.
That's a great one. And that was to Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell's teammate and draft classmate, you know?
Another super fast rookie. Let's not lose track of the
Texas.
Super fast rookie, please.
From Texas, yeah. That's same school. C.J. Stroud. This you can count on. C.J. Stroud on third and fourth down in the Colts game, 9 of 9, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, he was sacked 3 times. We don't like that on third and fourth down. But he was two carries for 15 yards. He had that 13-yard scramble, and then he had the little 2-yard scramble to get it down near the goal line on the Diggs touchdown on fourth down. But 9 for 9 for 9 for 85 yards. And I'm telling you, go back. It's on Twitter somewhere. There's a lot of people who posted. I'm guessing Houston Stressens has it up. Garrett collects this stuff as good as anybody, these plays from games. The 3rd and 11 to Nico Collins, the behind the quarterback all 22 view of it, is it belongs in a museum. Like, this throw by CJ to Nico Collins does not look real. It looks computer generated. It's so good.
it's really, really good. It's impressive. And then you likewise to look at, so those are CJ Stroud's 3rd and 4th down plays. How was Anthony Richardson? If you take out the big plays, which I don't want to discount, that's a threat every but just as in terms of how consistent is Anthony Richardson, he had those big plays. If you subtract those 3 big plays, how was he on 3rd and 4th down?
I don't know how he was on 3rd and 4th down.
Just in general without those big plays.
Yeah, without those big plays. He was without those big plays for the game, he was 6 of 16 for 41 yards and an interception.
Yeah.
I don't know what Anthony Richardson's completion percentage was. It couldn't have been great because I don't know how many of those played. Well, the one to Pierce was a 3rd and 15.
16.
No. That was aside. You asked how he was on 3rd and 4th down.
Yeah, I know. And then I said, okay, discount that. Just like, how was he when, except for those big three big
which
plays?
I said, he was 6 of 16 for 41 yards and an interception. Yeah. So that's, I hit that earlier. So, yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Let's give away the Texans tickets. Let's give away the Texans tickets. Primetime game coming up Sunday night. First time since 2019 the Texans are playing a home primetime game, and you want to be there. Call 713-572-4610 right now and be caller number 5, and you can be at NRG Stadium sitting in the front row. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 right now. Miss out, and you'll have two more chances to win today. Just make sure you're listening in the noon and 5 o'clock hours for your cue to call. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday on your home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. Up next, it's going to be fun. Pettycast. We get petty in the next segment against the various janky quarterbacks who we can point at and say, we have somebody who's way, way better than you, including there's, boy, it is a meltdown going on in Cleveland right now. We're going to get super petty in the next segment.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.